there. You are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming at KMUZ.org. This is where Marion and Polk Soil and Water Conservation Districts and OSU Small Farms Program shine a light on partnerships and programs that conserve our beautiful natural resources in the Willamette Valley. We're illuminating our collective mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for urban and agricultural audiences in the Willamette Valley.
I'm your host, Chelsea Blank, the Natural Areas Conservation Planner with the Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. On this episode, we are talking with my co-workers and fellow conservation planners, Becky Panetta and Cesar Zamora, who both focus in agriculture conservation and are leading the charge in partnering with Oregon Department of Agriculture to address resource concerns in Marion County. I'm thrilled to be joined by my team members for this episode today, so a big welcome to both of you.
Hi.
Thanks.
So can you both give us a background of each of your roles at the district and what brought you into conservation?
I have the position of one of the agriculture conservation planners for our district, and my focus areas are livestock and pasture. With that, I help landowners throughout our district, which is all of Marion County, making sure that they're meeting the ag water quality rules and assisting them with plans to help improve their properties to make them be better for managing water quality and helping to improve it. And my background and why I came into conservation. I grew up on a very small farm in Marion County where we mostly raised sheep and rabbits and also baled grass hay. And then I was an ag teacher in the county for several years. And then I decided to have a change of pace. And this position just happened to be available. And so that's kind of how I got into the conservation role or the conservation side of agriculture. And I've really enjoyed it. So I get to go and talk to farmers and landowners and managers and help them figure out ways to still produce the crops and the animals that they are wanting to for their livelihoods, but also taking a role in trying to help make the water quality better throughout the county. So that's how I got started and kind of what my role is here at the district.
Great. Okay. And Cesar, how about you go?
All right. So similar to Becky, I'm also one of our agriculture conservation planners, although my focus is a bit more in soils and croplands. So basically, I focus more on helping people with their soil-related questions, including soil testing and whatnot. Some of my roles that I do here is I'm in charge of a lot of our water quality monitoring. So I go out and collect water samples and then get those either shipped off to a lab or take them myself and then help do some very basic analysis on that so we can try and find any water quality issues that we're seeing and then talk to our various clients, landowners, people we work with about what we're seeing. And so a bit about my background. I actually got started through college, basically. Came out here about 10 years ago to get a degree in microbiology. Somehow that ended up with me working at the USDA Agriculture Research Service, where I worked on plant viruses. And then from there, because I was still near OSU, I was able to attend OSU's crop and soil science field and get my master's degree in soil science. That degree is really what led me into conservation because it's through that department, that field, that I learned about the soil water conservation districts. And so one thing led to another, and now I'm here at the district where I get to work with everyone in Marion County.
So yeah, we're very lucky to have you both at the district. And we're also lucky to be able to participate in some of Oregon Department of Agriculture's programs to strengthen networks to address some of those local resource challenges. You know, one thing I heard both of you mention was water quality. So that's very important, and that's something that ODA works on a lot. And so we have a couple partnerships in the district that we work with ODA to improve some of those concerns. So there's the Pesticide Stewardship Partnership, and the strategic implementation area are two of our main focuses that we work with ODA to help see water quality improvements in Marion County. So, Caesar, why don't you start by giving us a little background about the PSP and what you've been working on with that so far?
So the PSP, or the Pesticide Stewardship Partnership, is a joint ODA and Department of Environmental Quality program. In this program, the main goal is to work on preventing off-site pesticides from reaching our waters. So in other words, we're trying to keep pesticides on-site where they're doing their work, either in farm fields or in people's properties, and out of our waters.
You've been working on a strategic plan for that, right?
Yeah, so that's been a big portion of my work over the past year, is working with the ODA and DEQ on the strategic plan, which is basically just a big document that's helping us figure out exactly how we want to perform outreach or tell people in the county about what we're doing and what we're seeing.
So a lot of that is focused on educating folks about what they can do to help with these missions and these issues that we're seeing, right?
Yeah, definitely educating. And then a big portion is trying to get people to join in with us on some of our programs that can help them reduce these off-site pesticides.
And Becky, can you give us a little background about the SIA program?
Yeah, the SIA, or Strategic Implementation Area, is an area within our district that we are focusing more on. So we partner up with, this is a program through the Department of Ag, and the area is chosen by a group of partners who kind of look at what the water quality needs are throughout our district and find an area where we think there can be improvements in. And so right now, our SIA is the Howell Prairie Creek watershed that feeds into the Pudding River. This is something that has started before either Caesar or I had started working for the district. So we've kind of picked up the lead on that. And we do some water monitoring, water quality monitoring in the area. And then hopefully we'll be able to see some improvements from the beginning of our SIA time to the end of it. The SIA lasts for several years. It usually lasts, I think, about 3 years or so. And so once that area is chosen, then we do some outreach to the area to communicate with the landowners and managers and to see if we can meet with any of them or provide technical assistance to improve their water quality. And so that could be things like coming out for site visits to talk about what issues they might be having of concern. And then we can also find things to make suggestions on in that area. And so we work pretty closely with the Department of Ag. There's a regional water quality specialist who helps us with our SIA and talking to the landowners in the area. And our whole goal through that is to really focus more intently on a specific area within our district and see how much improvement we can make in the water quality of that area. And so we're actually looking at having another SIA that will start up in 2025. We don't know for sure if that's going to happen yet, and we don't know where within our district we're going to end up being for it, but we're looking at a new area because the one we're in, Howell Prairie Creek, is going to be over. That program's going to end here later in 2025. So we're looking at starting a new one. And I think it's pretty exciting because we get to build better relationships with the folks that are in that area and work with them a little more closely and really kind of dial in on the water quality needs that are in that specific area and help improve that. And so I look forward to starting a new SIA and working with partners in whatever area that might be to help improve their water quality. And we still, even when we have an SIA, we still work with landowners throughout the whole county, but it does give us some extra resources to focus more particularly on a specific area. So I think that's pretty cool program that we're able to work more specifically with a certain group.
So Caesar, the PSP, does that have a specific geographic area like the SAA does then?
Yeah, it does, except it's a much larger geographic area. In this case, it is the Putnam-Malala River Basin. That technically encompasses all of Marion County and then a bit into Clackamas County. However, because we are the Marion Soil Water Conservation District, we limit ours only to within our boundaries.
So we've been talking about how these partnerships are meant to help with some of the water quality concerns that we see in Marion County. Getting kind of more into the details of what that looks like, what are some of those resource concerns that this is addressing? So what are some things that you would see on a site visit that would kind of put you in this mindset of this is where we need to help a farmer, a landowner with their waterways? And how do these programs kind of approach those?
I'd say on the livestock and pasture side of agriculture and what we're looking for, it rains a lot here in the Willamette Valley, and especially in the winter months, we get a lot of mud. I guess one resource concern that I deal more with and that I think is more of an issue, not only for the natural resources side of trying to improve water quality, but also on the health side of your livestock, is to try to control that mud and to not have them in a bunch of manure at the same time. So controlling those two things and trying to prevent them from happening, whether you have a large number of livestock or just a couple, that could be something that, if we were to go on a site visit or we're driving around, something we might see is like a bunch of mud that's built up, and if it's closer to a waterway, then that really can cause an issue with your water quality. So there could be erosion happening, there could be more compaction along the waterway, which isn't good either, and then there could be runoff if it's close enough to a waterway. So I'm looking for things like that. I think that is one of the bigger concerns that I've seen. And then finding ways to protect those waterways from things from the animals getting into them. So having a proper riparian zone is really beneficial to try to prevent, you don't want your animals to be going down into the water and then trying to prevent the manure and other runoff from getting down into the waterways also is, I'd say, one of the bigger concerns in my side of the ag.
The riparian buffer essentially is just having enough sturdy vegetation along that waterway to protect sediment from going into the stream, correct?
Yes. So it's going to do that. And then also providing shade into the streams especially during the warmer summer months. So keeping animals further away from the water is ideal by having exclusion fencing and then also providing an area for them to be. Like we can provide plans for a heavy use area or like a sacrifice area so that your animals are not causing a bunch of compaction and mud and erosion issues closer to the water bodies.
And Caesar, from the soil health side of things, what are some of the major concerns that you've been seeing throughout Marion County that we want to address?
So similar to Becky, a lot of it's going to be that bare ground. That's what kind of leads to that mud. In our case, going along with the rain, you're losing all that soil when it rains hard during the winter and you have nothing to hold together. So if you have no plants there, there's no roots and it's not grabbing onto it. And that's kind of feeding into that pesticide issue. The second portion would be if you're spraying a lot, you're likely driving on your fields a lot and you're compacting that soil. So those two things together are probably the biggest concerns we're seeing in terms of the pesticide issue and the biggest resource concerns that kind of go along with it.
Just a quick update. If you are just tuning in, I'm here with Becky Panetta and Caesar Zamora, the Agricultural Conservation Planners at Marion SWCD. And you are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming on KMUZ.org. So you mentioned that we provide services, especially with these focus areas. That includes site visits and technical assistance. So what are some ways that farmers and urban residents can connect with you to get more resources and education about some of these impacts?
So one thing that we've been working on in the last couple of years is to do more outreach to our farming community. And we've been doing that a few different ways. We do send out like some mailers, especially those like the strategic implementation area. We're able, like I said, to focus on that geographic location more. So we can send mailers to individuals within that area that talk about the services we provide and ways that we can help them. But we've also been trying to attend different grower meetings and like commodity group meetings so that we can make more intentional one-on-one connections with farmers within our district that we would be able to help. And then we've also done some things like OSU has a small farms program. And so they have an event called the Small Farm Social that's held in the fall every year. And we've been attending that so that we can try to have a diverse group of people that we're connecting with, whether it's your large farms or like a small farm system. And then other ways people can contact us, they can check out our website and email either Caesar or I. And then we also, you know, if you're really interested in finding out more about what we do, make sure you sign up for our e-news and keep checking out the events section of our website, because we do periodically throughout the year have events that we help organize also to help educate landowners and managers on not only ag water quality issues, but other resource conservation issues as well. One of our popular ones is called the Conservation Club, where we can help host tours and talks and some hands-on activities to educate people about their resources and how to conserve them.
These ODA programs, the SIA and PSP, are meant to kind of help educate and connect landowners to resources to help with some of those issues. So since water quality seems to be so important in the valley, and there's actually rules implemented for streamside owners to follow, Becky, can you go into what these rules are and how they apply to landowners and what landowners can do to improve water quality on their properties?
I know that from my own personal experience, there were some things that we did on our little small farm that didn't necessarily meet the ag water quality rules. And so now that I do know those, on my family's small acreage, we have set things up a little bit differently. There are something called an area rule and an area plan. And for us, our basin that we're working in is the Lala Pudding French Prairie North Sanium subbasins.
Oh my gosh.
That is basically all of the major water bodies within our district and area surrounding also. And so we are charged with trying to communicate those area rules and our area plan to the landowners and managers within the district. And so that is considered our scope of work. And so that's taking into account our whole district. And like I said, communicating and educating the landowners and managers about what those rules are. And basically, it's just trying to keep our water clean or improve our ag water quality from what it already is. And so those are things like preventing erosion and not having your manure leach into the waterways. It could be having streamside vegetation. There are little rules like that that we can get more information to you. There's a whole document that we can send you that describes those rules and the area plan But that's the basics of it, is really just trying to improve our ag water quality and to keep it at least as clean as it is. And the water quality is as good as it is right now, but hopefully improve it and make it even better.
And so those rules, like you mentioned, your family, or at least you weren't really aware of them until you kind of started managing your mm-hmm. land yourself. Are there ways that people, like, they're not just given a handbook that says,
right.
you are a farmer now, here are rules about the waterways on your land. It's kind of like something that they have to seek out or like find out for themselves, do their due diligence.
Yeah, part of it is to have your due diligence as a landowner or somebody who manages agricultural crops and livestock. But also that's part of our responsibility is to let people know what those things are. So a lot of times that, you know, these are rules and there are laws about them. Us at the Soil and Water Conservation District, we don't do any, like we're not, I'm not saying that Department of Ag is the bad guys, but we're not the people, our district is not the people who are enforcing any of the rules. Mm-hmm. We're educating people and helping them fix things on their property to help be in compliance of those rules. And it would be the Department of Ag who is the compliance person or the compliance organization. Mm-hmm. So I would say that a lot of people who might get a letter in the mail from the Department of Ag saying that you're not meeting the ag water quality rules, they might not even know that there are rules.
Right.
So there's always something, like if you do get contacted by the Department of Ag about an ag water quality issue, there's always a line in that letter that says, if you need help or resources to make sure you're following the rules or to learn more about them, contact somebody at your Soil and Water Conservation District, because that's our job. We're not compliance, but we are there to help all of the landowners make sure they know what those rules are and help them follow them. We're there to help you, and ODA is there to help you also, but we just have a different role. And our role is to really be that middle person and to help you figure out what those rules are and how to make your property fit those rules better.
So people living in the SAA should keep an eye out for some mailers from us potentially. And they will definitely want to reach out to you, Becky, about finding out how they can improve their waterways.
Yes, we have already sent a couple of mailers out to that area, but there's another round coming up of a little more specifically about a couple of events that we have coming up this spring.
And can you remind me where that geographic area is in case our listeners missed it the first time?
Yeah, it's the Howell Prairie Creek watershed, which is one of those waterways in our district that I would say probably 90% of the people who live in the area know it as a ditch, but mm-hmm. it's actually a creek. It is, I would say, like the Pradham area, and then it goes north toward the Pudding River, and it feeds into there. And then also on the other side of the Pudding River over toward the Mount Angel area is also within that that watershed.
Mm, okay. And there's even some stretches of the Pudding River that I was shocked to learn that it was a river. So yeah. Take home message is, even if you think it's not a river or a designated creek, call us anyways. Okay, well, now that we have heard about the agriculture water quality rules and the SAA area, I would love to hear a little bit more about the pesticide stewardship program from you, Caesar. So can you tell us a little bit about the importance of awareness around safe chemical use, what that means for both urban and agricultural landowners and residents, and what are some of the best management practices that you really want folks to know about?
So awareness is definitely really important, because it's hard to really make positive changes if you don't know what the issues are. For instance, there's a few chemicals out there that we consider high priority because they just show up so much. And if you're not aware of what they are, you don't know which products you're purchasing contain those chemicals and could be exacerbating the issues that we're looking at. And so when we're thinking about chemicals, some of the best management practices we can use really starts well before you even start purchasing chemicals. It's at the point where you're thinking that you may need to use pesticides. The most important thing anyone can really do is know what the pests are trying to deal with is. That way, if you know what you're trying to deal with, you know what the best chemical is because you can do your research at that point and figure out what would be the best, least toxic method to deal with it.
Right. Like there's often many different other strategies that can be used to eradicate even insects and plant weeds besides just the chemical methods, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of different routes you could go. Some of them involves mechanically removing it, so cutting back or pulling basically any physical work together of the weeds. Or you could do something that's a bit more proactive, takes a bit more time and effort, but these are cultural controls where you're planting specific plants that can help force out the weeds or exclude them from even growing in the area.
And always, you know, we want to emphasize that the label is the law, right? So that goes into part of that awareness that you were talking about, is just educating not only about what pest you are looking to control, but also follow exactly what the label says, because these are chemicals.
Yeah, exactly. That's like your next step after your first initial proactive points where you've tried either cultural or mechanical removal. You decided at this point, okay, I need a chemical. You know what chemical you need. So at that point, you go out, you read that label to make sure you know exactly what you're doing with it and what the best way to apply it to your field is.
So where are some resources that people can turn to learn a little bit about what chemicals they should use for what pest they're targeting?
Yeah, so there's a ton of resources out there. Specific to Oregon, you can definitely look at Oregon State University's Extension Service. They have individuals available who you can talk to directly. They even sometimes have some capacity to come out to their fields. Huh. Speaking of having people come visit your fields, you can also contact us. While we're not experts in chemicals themselves, we can point you in the right direction and get you started. And then one other major resource I want to bring up is the National Pesticide Information Center. This is a Oregon State resource. It's a huge, big old website that contains a bunch of information, talks about pretty much any chemical you could be interested in. And more importantly, it's not just specific to Oregon. It's going to be pretty much all pesticides in general.
Don't be afraid to contact us and ask us to come out for a site visit. It's free. We're not, we don't have to report things that we might see if you're not following the ag water quality rules. And we are just there to help you. And so even if you think that things are fine on your small acreage or your farm, we can still come out and just look at it from a different set of eyes. And eyes that are more used to looking at things from a conservation perspective. You don't necessarily have to take our advice. I will tell you that some of the small farms or the larger farms that I've been to, some things that we could point out would be a change in management for the landowner or the manager. And so that might be kind of scary. Mm-hmm. And just because we give you an idea of a way to change something, doesn't mean that you necessarily have to follow it. It's just looking at it from a different perspective and things that could be beneficial. And we can help you in making those changes if they're even needed.
I can go check out our website. We have a bunch of information on there already available. You can access it whenever. And then on top of that, you'll be able to find out the events that we're going to be hosting. So come check us out and try and have us out on your field sometime.
Great. Yeah, and I know spring is usually pretty busy for having in-person tours and workshops and things like that. So we'll definitely be doing a lot of in-person events coming up soon, which is exciting. Okay, well, it's been so great to chat with you both a little bit more about these programs and partnerships that we have with Oregon Department of Agriculture. I really appreciate you both taking the time out of your busy schedules in the new year to educate some folks and listeners and me about these programs. So it's always great to keep learning from you both. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having me as well.
I've been talking with Becky Panetta and Cesar Zamora, the two agricultural conservation planners with Marion Soil and Water Conservation District, about how they've been tackling conservation through partnerships with the Oregon Department of Agriculture in Marion County. And I'm your host, Chelsea Blank, the Natural Areas Conservation Planner for the Marion SWCD. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Conservation Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed our conversation on partnerships focused on safe pesticide use and water quality. If you would like more information on this topic or any other topic, please visit our website, marionswcd.net, and our Facebook page for follow-up information and resources on how you can contribute to local conservation efforts. Also, follow our newsletter to stay tuned with our upcoming events. And if you liked what you heard here on Conservation Spotlight, tune in next month to KMUZ at 100.7 or 88.5 FM, the third Wednesday every month during Willamette Wake Up. Thanks for listening and keep up the conservation conversation.